Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene in Cape Elizabeth, Maine. Download more sermons or learn about the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene at our website, capenazarene.org. Here's this week's message.
Good morning. Good to be with you again this morning. I want to say that you folks must definitely be people of faith. And the reason I say that is because your treasurer gave me an honorarium before I spoke. So we'll see about that, right? Also, I want to express thanks because I don't know if all of you know this, but your missions group has given a donation to Vision Partners. And what is that? Well, that's a nonprofit that Jared Spaulding and I formed just over a little year ago. And we work with smaller churches and church plants. And we're in our beginning stages. That also takes a lot of faith to support a new nonprofit that is really just in the beginning stages of things. And our process, just tell you real quick, most of the time is an 18-month process. And then it's another probably 6 months or more before we know if we've really been successful. So we don't even have a way yet to determine if our results are really in. And so in about a year and a half, 2-3 years from now, we'll be able to start saying, well, here are the churches we've been working with, and this is what God's doing with them. The whole problem with that, you realize, though, is in spiritual things, you can do everything right and nothing happens, and you can do a whole bunch of stuff wrong and God just does stuff. So, you know, you can't fully understand all of that, can we? So also, one other thing before I begin my message is, of course, coming over on 77, you know, it's a beautiful drive. You know, after you get off Route 1, I live in Biddeford, so I come up Route 1 and then across whatever that route is to get down to 77. And, you know, it really gets pretty. And as I'm coming across 77, about 3 miles from here, my blood pressure went up just a little bit. And my heart rate went up just a little bit. And it wasn't exactly because of the normal beauty. It was because three deer just all of a sudden appeared to my left and started coming out across the road. So I saw them. I began to hit the brakes. And the stag goes flying by me. The two does stop. And I just drove in between them. I wasn't close to hitting any of them, but it was a pretty interesting drive over here. I'll tell you that much. It was pretty good. It's pretty good. Well, today I want to talk to you a little bit about canyons, or really I want to talk to you about something else, but I thought, well, maybe canyons is a good way to give this message a title. And that is about a canyon, a very, very large canyon that divided two communities. And these two communities really knew nothing about each other, because this canyon was so large. And one canyon, I'm going to say it's on the left since I've got a couple of wonderful people over here. I've got to be careful what I say. But the one canyon on village on this side, the people, someone brought the gospel to that group of people. And that group of people, many of them began to invite Jesus Christ into their life. They wanted to follow him. They began to learn what it means to be a disciple and to follow Jesus. And they were becoming followers of Jesus, and they established a church. Now, I don't know if they built a building or if they just met under a tree. I don't know if they built a fancy building or if they just built a very crude shack. It doesn't matter. But the people, the real church, were gathering together. They were worshiping God. They were learning about God. They were learning how to follow God, and they were seeking to do that. And that was one side of the canyon. But over on the other side of the canyon was a group of people that somehow the gospel had never got to them. And so they didn't know anything about Jesus. They didn't know about how Jesus had come to live, how Jesus had come to die for their sins, and they just didn't know anything about that. And this canyon was so deep and so wide that there was just no way to get from there to there. Well, I should say there would be a way, but it would take a long, long time, right? Well, with time, what happened? Engineering. And because of engineering, because more and more facts were developed, more and more understandings were developed, what happened between these two communities. Somebody decided we can build a bridge. And so, thanks to the ingenuity of the engineers, a bridge was built between the two communities. Pretty big bridge, because it was a pretty big canyon. Now, when that happened, that caused the people over here in the church to begin to ask some questions. Now, you might think right away what the questions were. You know, the questions were something like this. Well, who are those people on the other side of the bridge? Those people on the other side of the bridge, do they know about Jesus? Should we go over there and find out? Now, they probably had 7 or 10 committees, you know, to figure out whether they should do that. But anyway, they asked the questions, and they were thinking it through. And finally, a couple of adventuresome young adults, they decided they were going to just walk over that bridge, and they were going to check things out over there. They were going to try to get to know a little bit about that community on the other side of the bridge. They went over, spent some time, and they come back, and they gave a report to the church. So the report was pretty simple. Those people don't have a clue who Jesus is. They don't have any idea. They don't know what Jesus has done, and they don't know what Jesus wants to do for them. They're just clueless. Well, that caused another round of conversation and questions in the people of the church, because they asked the question, well, what should we do? What should we do? Well, some of the people had a very simple answer. They said, well, we don't have to do anything. They know we're here, and if they want to come, they're welcome. Well, some other people said, no, that's not right. Now, what we need to do is we need to go over there and we need to invite those people to come. In fact, we should even prepare for them to come. Now, there was a third group of people. I don't know, these might have been the young ones, I'm not sure. But there was a third group of people, they said, oh, no. What we need to do is we need to go over there and we need to get to know those people and we need to figure out what they think and what they like and what they do, and we need to try to serve them and talk to them about Jesus right there. Three possibilities. Well, our text today, which we've read already, but I want to look at again, is Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Now, if you've been in the church very long, you've heard this scripture many times, and if you're here for the very first time, it's a great one to hear. Because this is what Jesus' very last words that were written by Matthew that Jesus spoke to his people just before he ascended into heaven, he said this. He said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. You all heard those words before? Yeah? Expect you have. Well, this scripture helps us address the questions raised when those engineers built that bridge. So we're going to take a little bit of time to unpack it. For some of you, if not most of you, maybe even all of you, this is review. But we'll remind you if it's review. If it's not review, then great. Listen in, and hopefully we'll catch it the first time through. This scripture is telling us that we are called, once we become followers of Jesus, that we become people who are to help others to become followers of Jesus. Now, the way it's mentioned or talked about in this scripture is it says we're to make disciples. Some people like to say we're to become disciple makers, disciples of Jesus. And there's a strategy. The strategy that is given, Jesus says, as you are going. In other words, as you're living your life, as you're going through your everyday life, as you are going, make disciples. A second part of the strategy is by baptizing people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, here in the United States, I don't think we get this at all, because in the United States, being baptized is just something, at least historically, it's not so much anymore, but historically it's just everybody did it. And we didn't think about it a lot. And if you were in the Roman Catholic tradition, then you were baptized as an infant. And Episcopalians, as an infant. Certain Lutheran groups, as an infant. With the Nazarenes, sometimes as an infant. With other groups, you would be baptized only after you were an adult. But baptism is very common. And it didn't have in our culture nearly as much meaning to us, because it was just, well, that's what you do. Well, in Jesus' day, if you were baptized as a follower of Jesus in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, it meant your Jewish family would probably disown you. It was a huge, huge thing. It demonstrated you are truly 100% committed to Jesus. Okay, so he said, as you go, live this out, baptize, and then teach people to obey everything that I've commanded you. That's what Jesus said. Now, there's two vital understandings that I want us to be aware of before we go on any further here. And that is this. He said, you do so, we do so, in the authority of Jesus, not our own. Do you ever notice that people aren't all that impressed with your opinion? Ever notice that once in a while? Yeah, it's true. That's why it's really important that this is God's idea and not ours. Because, you know, maybe, like me, sometimes you'd like to have everybody agree with you, and you'd like to have everybody love your opinions, you'd like to have everybody, you know, jump on your ideas, but they don't, do they? No, they don't. And that's okay, because our opinions, they're not what matters. What matters is what God says. Right? It's true. I'm not sure you agree with me, because only got one amen out of that. But it's, yeah, it's true. It's his word. It's what he says that means the most. Now, our opinions sometimes are right, but that's not the point. The point is, it's not about us people doing what we say. It's what people will do what he says, right? So we have to remember, it's not about us. And when we go in the authority of Jesus, and if we speak the truth of God's word, even if somebody doesn't agree with it, it's okay, because it's not about us. It's not about us. It's his authority. And the second thing is equally important with this, and that is that Jesus is with us. So in verse 18, he says he's going to give us all the authority. And in verse 20, he said he is with us. And he's going to be with us to the end of the age. So we're not doing this on our own. And we're not expected to depend on our own wisdom or our own knowledge or our own strength or our own anything. And we have God's promise that we're not going to be alone. He's going to be there. And that's good news for us. You know, sometimes we just have to say, you know, we're a little afraid sometimes to say, I don't know. But lots of times we don't know. So we just say, I don't know. But he knows. And he's with us, and he'll help us through those things. So we want to make disciples of Jesus. So I'm just going to assume we all want to help people become followers of Jesus. Okay, I'm going to assume that. But the truth is, we can't transform anybody. The truth is, we can't make anybody do anything. We can't. It's a hard lesson to learn, but it's true. Jesus is the one who brings forgiveness. Jesus is the one who changes lives. We're simply privileged to give the invitation and to come alongside people and help them follow through to become disciples of Jesus. We can do that. We can partner with God. In fact, he asks us to. In fact, here, he's basically commanding us to. We can partner with God, but we can't make them do anything. So, let's talk about the as we go part. Here in this scripture, as we go, what can we do? Well, we can invite others to follow Jesus with us. Now, I want to emphasize those last two words. We can invite people to follow Jesus with us. With us. We don't invite them to just follow Jesus. We invite them to follow Jesus with us. Now, they might not want to do that. Maybe distance makes that impossible. Although today, no such thing as distance. All you got to do is get on your computer or whatever, and you can even do it that way. But it's with us. We do this together. You don't have to do it alone. You have the Lord, of course, Holy Spirit, but we can be with you. And as we go, you do that with us as we go. We teach the scriptures by being in God's word together, by the lifestyle we live together, and by serving together. I think in my past, and I've been in ministry a long, long time now, when I was younger, the way that discipleship was kind of thought about most of the time was learn the scripture, make sure you get the right answers, make sure you have the right information, make sure you have the right understanding. And if we had enough of that, then that meant we were a disciple. And it didn't, lots of times, it didn't emphasize enough about just how we're living it out together on a daily basis. Now, we were told there were things we were supposed to do and not do. All of us who are old enough know that happened. We were told things to do and not to do, but at the same time, it wasn't about a lifestyle that was actually as much caught as it was taught. And real disciple-making takes place by both being taught the scriptures and by catching them. And frankly, we catch a whole lot more than we're taught. I think about my mom and dad. They taught me some things, but I caught a lot of things from them. So did your children. From you. My children from me. My children learned the three major food groups from me. Coca-Cola, potato chips, and brownies. We always say that tongue-in-cheek, but we all like all three. And when my girls, who are now middle age, when they come to my home, I know just what kind of chips to get, and I know that they're going to invade them, and I know if we don't steal the bag from them, they'll be gone. And they just, you know, they picked up my bad habits. What can I say? It wasn't taught, because if I'd have taught them, I'd have told them not to do those things. But they caught it. And we catch all kinds of things. So making disciples is really happening in the context of living together as we're learning the scripture together. Now, you probably know all this. This is just a reminder, but it's out there. So I want to go back to our two groups of people on either side of the canyon. Now, here's the sad truth. There are some churches that say, people know where we are, and if they want to come, they will come. And of course, these churches do little, if anything, to prepare for anybody new coming. You know, if there's signage, there's signage, but if not, who cares? Everybody knows where the bathroom is. Why do you need a sign? Everybody knows where you're supposed to go. Why mark it in the bulletin? Everybody knows, why do this? Nobody's at the door to greet anybody because nobody expects anybody. And the language? Well, the language is all insider language. Oh, you remember last week when we did so-and-so? No, I don't. I'm a guest. I wasn't here last week. There's all kinds of things like that that go on all the time. Now, by the way, every church is guilty of this at some level. So, you know, if you just felt a little pang of guilt, it's okay. We're all guilty at some level of doing that. What we need to do is try to avoid it because, you know, no church is perfect. And even if we try our very best to prepare for guests all the time, we're never going to do it perfectly. But if a church, and I would say if you, have the attitude that says, people know where we are, and if they want to come, they will come, then I would suggest to you sometime today, you have a little talk with the Lord, and you repent, and you ask God to change your heart. Because that's a stinking attitude. And it's not biblical. It's not biblical. Doesn't have any compassion at all for people. Yeah, they know where we are if they want to come. Well, I'll guarantee you there's all kinds of people drive by, right by here. They don't know where you are. It's just a flash. Oh, anyway, I won't go any more than that. Because I don't expect that's a real big problem. Other churches are all over getting ready for people. They're preparing. They want to invite. They want to prepare. Depending on the church, you know, they just do it verbally. Other people, they're all over it with. They're on all the social media. Then they're on the Facebook invitations. They got the Instagram things going out there. And they got the great websites. They're maybe doing email flashes out there, and they're just preparing everything. Their parking lot is superb. They got a welcoming team at the door. They got signage everywhere telling everybody where to go and when to go there. The facility's clean. It's updated as much as possible. A whole lot more. And they really want people to come. And the primary message, though, in this type of church is, we're here. We want you to come, but you need to walk over the bridge and come to us. Now, the good news is some people, if they are invited, and I underline if they are invited, some people, if they're invited, they'll walk over the bridge and they'll come. That's good news. So if you're an inviter, keep inviting. That's a good thing. Because some people are just waiting to be invited. You say, well, I've invited a couple of people and they haven't come. Well, I'm going to tell you about a couple of people I've invited that haven't come either. But we'll get to that in a minute. But there are people out there that if they're invited, they'll come into the conversation. And so we always need to be doing that. And we always need to be ready to greet them, etc. Because what happens that Sunday that a guest, not one from Pennsylvania who's visiting because they want to see the beauty here, but somebody fairly locally who somehow is feeling a move, somehow they need to come to church and they walk in and we're not prepared. We just need to be prepared, don't we? We need to have a loving spirit. We need to be ready. Well, the third type of church, frankly, is a whole lot harder to find than the first two. These churches understand that some people, they can't come to church, at least on Sunday morning, because they're working. They can't come because they have other responsibilities. Maybe they're caring for aging parents. Who knows? All kinds of things going on. And of course, there's a whole large crop of people who are afraid to come to church. Did you know that? There are people afraid to come in here. They're afraid of you. I hope that doesn't make you feel good, but they're afraid of you. They really are. You say, why are they afraid of us? Well, because they got hurt somewhere else. They got hurt in some church situation or some religious situation, and nothing like yours at all, but they just lump you all together, so they got hurt. Or maybe they got this false stereotype. You know what they expect to see when they come in here? You know, some choir robes and flowing this and that, and maybe everything being very, very formal and nobody talking it to anybody. And, you know, they don't know what to expect at all. They saw a movie once. You know, it was from some church in the 1500s. And they still think you look like that. There's all kinds of misunderstandings. There's all kinds of bridges that separate us, all kind of canyons. Some aren't that, you know, some are just little valleys, but some are really deep. Some of the bridges are short, some of the bridges are really long. Now, of course, there's a third group of people, and they don't have any interest at all. They don't have any interest in coming to church because somewhere, somebody, or something convinced them that God, if he exists at all, doesn't really care. Or, you know what, I'm just too busy. I never thought about church. I got better things to do. Never really crossed my mind. I mean, I sleep in on Sunday mornings, or I'm a weekend warrior, and I go off every weekend, and I do my skiing in the wintertime, and I do my going to the lake in the summertime, and I'm off to Florida for a few weeks or whatever. They're just, you know, they're not interested. Well, what in the world do you do with people like this? Well, these churches are seeking ways to go across the bridge to the other side. They're seeking to get to know the people, to listen and to love and to offer the hope of Jesus. Now, whether as individuals or as a church, that's what's going to have to happen to touch a lot of people in our day and age. Because there's a lot of people in our day and age, they're just never going to come on their own, apart from God doing something miraculous. And God could do that. There have been great awakenings in our country where people who never thought about Jesus began flocking to churches and flocking to God. Right now, that's not happening. Right now, God's calling us to go across the bridge. Now, I'm going to tell you a story out of my own life, and I want to be careful. Whenever you tell a story out of your own life, it can sound like, well, look at me. That's not what I want you to do. Secondly, it can sound like, well, if you just do what I do, then everything's going to be great. And that's not what I mean to say. But my story started 3.5 years ago. And 3.5 years ago, I moved from Massachusetts to Biddeford, Maine. So we purchased a home there. And so I began to walk the streets around my home and pray. Just began to walk and pray for the neighborhood. And I gradually began to get to know the neighbors. Now, Marilyn and I were gradually getting to know a few people. And so we invited a few of the neighbors over to the house. We had moved in the fall of 2016, so sometime in early 2017, we invited a few of the neighbors over to the house for soup and sandwiches and just to get to know them. And several of them came, and we had a good time, and that went well. And we kept getting to know each other. You know, every time there was a snowstorm, we'd snow blow, and we'd see each other. In the summer, once in a while, we'd run into each other. Now, I'm on the road all the time, but I'm still... When I'm home, I would keep walking. And gradually, as I walked, I got to know, I think, 9 or 10 of the neighbors around me. Plus, I got to know some neighbors in a double-wide trailer park called Granite Park. In that area, I just kept running into people. So we would talk a little bit, and I got to know several people that way. So as things develop, We move along. We've had them into our home in 2017. We had them back in 2018. They ended up at one of the other homes. They had a barbecue in the summertime in 2018. And so we're just building relationships. That's all we're doing. Now, remember, I moved in late 2016. I'm now into 2018, and we're still building relationships. We've been interacting some. And now we're into 2019. Okay, now we've got 2+ years have been going on. Now I want to just point this out to you. I've not helped anybody to Jesus yet. Nobody's become a follower of Jesus. Nobody's gone to church with me. None of that's happened. This is 2.5 years. Now, folks, If I were getting hired to help people to come to Jesus, I'd get fired. All right? But we don't get hired for that. So I'm just trying to do what I think God wants me to do in the neighborhood. And so it's the fall of 2019 now, not that terribly long ago. And Dawn, my next door neighbor, has a heart episode. I didn't know about it. Joan, my neighbor over here, tells me. So I says, "Where is he?" She says, "He's home." I said, "Okay." I go over and knock on the door, hit the doorbell, whatever I did. And Denise answered the door. She says, "Oh, come in." I walk in, and I said, "I'm here to see Don. I hear he had a heart issue." She says, "Oh, yeah, come on up." And he comes walking over to me, and I look at him and says, "Hey, what's the big idea? You had a heart problem. You got a praying man next door, and you didn't even tell him." And he goes, "Ah, I'm sorry. I said, I'm just pulling your leg." I said, it's okay. I said, "But what's going on?" So he tells me a little bit. And I said, "Well, I'll be praying for you then." And so that opened that up. He helped me do something a little later on. I went over to the house another time. They just have that kind of house. They've never come to mine, but I walk into theirs a few times. I always knock first and ring the doorbell. They let me in. But I went over and I talked to him a little bit more. And we talked about it. So I says to him, "Look, sometime why don't you, if you want, you can go ahead and go to church with Marilyn and me." And his response, here's his exact words, "I'm not ready for that yet." Those were his words. I said, "Okay, no problem." So then last year, I also bought a car. I drive over 2,000 miles a month for my ministry. So I wanted a car. I wanted a car that had some bells and whistles to help protect me, because I'm not a young kid anymore, and I just figured, I needed a car I could depend on, and one that warned me on the sides and stuff like that. I said, that would be smart. So I did. And so I bought this car, and my salesman, you know how long it takes to buy a car. They make you sit around, right? So now they lost because I said, "Here's how much money I get for my trade-in or else I don't buy." And I got it, but I had to just play the game for about an hour with them. But anyway, this gave the salesman and I a lot of time to talk, and we ended up getting to talk about Jesus. Pretty interesting. Didn't expect that. So then, so we bought the car a few months ago. We went out to breakfast together. And then Tuesday, we went out to breakfast again. And so we had breakfast. And I said the first time we went out to breakfast, I got to tell you this part of the story. The first time we went out to breakfast, we're going back and forth. And he kind of says, I do believe Jesus lived and he died and rose again. He says, you're pretty much there. I said, I go to church here. You want to go sometime when you have free Sunday and check it out? You know what his words were? "I am not kidding you. This is the truth. I'm not ready for that yet." The same words as my neighbor. I couldn't make that up. And so Tuesday we go out to breakfast again. And we talk. And he's obviously, some positives going on. And I say, "How about we get together every Tuesday morning that we're able to, because, I travel a bit and sometimes your work doesn't allow it, but the Tuesdays that you're able to, why don't we get together and let's do this little thing. We'll do the gospel, look at the Gospel of Luke, and we'll look at who God is, who Jesus is, and so we're gonna look at a scripture about God. We're gonna ask the question, what do we observe about God? Then what we're going to say, okay, what am I supposed to do about that if that's true about God? And then we just write a prayer. It's called SOAP. And he said, okay. So here's what I gave him. This is just the Gospel of Luke. On one side, it has text. On the other side, it's wide open so you can write. So I gave it to him. And we're going to meet this Tuesday at Starbucks in Route 1 in Saco. And we're going to do our first study in Luke about God and Jesus. And I said, well, I have another friend, Tim. He's in the triangle. I call it place I walk, the triangle. And I said, I think he'd be interested to do this with us. Now, Tim's another guy I've talked to. And we've had coffee a few times, but we've never got together for Bible study. And I said, I think Tim would do this. Would that be okay if I invite him? Steve says, sure. So I texted Tim that day and I said, hey, you want to join us? And Tim said, yes. So Tuesday, I meet with Tim and Steve, and we're going to talk about the Lord. Now, Tim earlier had said, well, yeah, I believe in Jesus, and I try to follow Jesus, but he says, I don't go to church, and I don't feel guilty about it, period. Now, whether Tim's a Christian or not, that's up to God, but you know what? I know this. He's not living out the fullness of the Christian life, if he is one at all. So Tim and Steve and I, on Tuesdays that we're able to, we're going to get together, we're going to do this. And that happened, took 3.5 years for me to see that happen in my life. You say, Kim, you are really slow. And you might be right. Yeah, I might be really slow. Maybe some other people would have, you know, pulled that off overnight. Maybe some people would have had them pray and invite Jesus into their life overnight. But here's what I think. I think for Steve and I think for Tim and Don next door and his wife Denise, if they're going to become real followers of Jesus, it's going to take some time for them to really get to know what it means because they don't have a clue. And so, I've been trying to cross bridges and it just takes forever. And it's so frustrating because I wanted it to happen yesterday. Right? Now, I do have a full-time job, but I work out of my house other than the 2,000 miles I travel and the churches I work with. But I keep praying for it. I pray for the triangle every day. I pray for these people every day and just say, God, you open it up. Now, I've probably gone too long and I got more to say, so I'm going to quit. I'm going to quit by saying this. God's called us to be disciple makers. And it's perfectly legitimate to invite people in. I encourage you to do so. But we have to also ask God to help us to know how, because we don't, for the most part, know how, to just make disciples wherever we are, at work, in our neighborhoods, if we're going to school, if we've got hobbies. Wherever it is, that's the mission field. And that's where we can invite God to help us develop these relationships. And with me, it always seems to end up saying, let's go to Panera, or let's go to Starbucks, or let's go to breakfast. And I just talk. And sometimes it takes a lot of talks. Tim, who's joining Steve and I, he and I probably went out to coffee 6-8 times now, plus our just running each other in the community before that happened. What's God want to do for you? You see, you don't have to do it the way I do it. You have to do it the way God opens up to you. As a church, yes. And as individuals, yes. And you say, I don't even know where to start. Well, start with prayer and see where it goes. See where it goes.
Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. We hope this sermon has encouraged you with the gospel of Jesus. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. May God richly bless you as you serve him today.